Hey people, welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. I'm Phil Pringle and I'm really thankful for you jumping on today. I know that you're going to be blessed. I feel such a joy, honor, and privilege to share the Word of God with people. I know that it builds faith, inspires hearts, and strengthens souls. So let's go to the Word of God. As we come into this particular session, we're going to talk about problem solving. And the contention is that if you are not a private problem solver, you're going to have difficulty solving other people's problems. Definitely when David, in his most famous story, slew Goliath, he did it on the basis that he had previously killed a lion and a bear. So God had used a private difficulty he faced, a hidden difficulty. Nobody could see him doing it twice. And so he killed the lion, but that brought a bear killer out of him. And when he killed the bear, that brought a giant killer out of him. And our private battles, we are winning those because it is turning us into the person we need to be in the future to win the biggest and the real assignment. And for David, that was to save the nation from enslavement to the enemy. And so once he had conquered Goliath, he had solved their problem. And that was the basis for him becoming a king. In my world, I found that my family background was very indecisive, what you might call dithery. And people would make a decision, then undo it and wonder whether they'd made the right one. And it wasn't a secure environment because you wondered if anything was ever going to get finally decided and nobody quite knew if they should be doing this. When I became a leader, I found that that was going to be a serious handicap. People wanted you to make decisions and you can go, well, what do you think? Do you think, well, maybe we shouldn't? Oh, I don't know if we could. The second guessing game, which a lot of people struggle with in their head, really was affecting me. And when I decided, and this is real early in my Christian life, because I was finding I was making decisions as we were setting up house as a newly married couple and for our family, where we live, what house we buy, what furniture we get, constantly being plagued with second guessing and wondering what I should be thinking I should be doing. So to make the decision became a monstrous difficulty sometimes. But I found that when I said, okay, I'm going to make the decision and not second guess and not think about it, that was the battle. That was the problem. But this is the fact. If you've got nothing to overcome, how will you ever be an overcomer? So you can't be an overcomer unless you've got trials. So I started to push this weight. It was like going to the mental gym and lifting a weight of 250 kilograms off my brain, refusing to think about a second guessing, refusing to go back and revisit the decision. Once I'd made the step, I made the step, and it took everything within me, all my emotional strength, all my mental strength, to not think about revisiting that decision. So I would do that again and again and again. Eventually, I built that muscle in my brain so that I could rule my thinking. Now, even though that was only one area of my thinking, it affected every area in my mind so that I could choose what I would think about, choose what I would remember, and what I would forget. And so when the scripture says, forget the former things because I do a new thing, well, people, when they keep remembering the former things, it prevents them from appropriating their future because they're looking backwards. They can't move forwards. There's a reason why our cars have a very large windscreen in front of us and a very small rear vision mirror because we don't want to be looking in the past to try and drive ourselves forward. It can't happen. We need a big picture of the future and a small one of the past. And with that in mind, our leadership depends on that fact that we are able to make decisions, people feel secure in those decisions, and that you're not going to keep changing your mind and changing decisions or revisiting what we did, or worst of all, not make any decisions at all. So for me, that was my private war, amongst many others, but that was one of the private wars I needed to win to be able to be a decisive problem solver, leader for other people. Interestingly enough, as you go through history and through the Bible history, you find that many leaders were put in their role as the leader of the nation because they solved a problem. As we've just were saying, David solved a problem for Israel. They said, let's make him the king. Jephthah, another figure in the Bible, he solved a problem by wiping out the enemies of Israel. And even though he came from a very suspect background, was not really the kind of person that qualifies to be a king or a leader, they wanted him as their king. And time and time again, the people who solved people's problems became their leader. Jesus often became the leader of individuals because he healed them. He solved their problem. The blind people whose eyes were open, they wanted to follow him straight away. People who had demons cast out of them, who got set free from condemnation by the local religious crowd, just wanted to follow him from that point on. People are happy to surrender the direction of their life to somebody who's going to solve their primary problem in their life. And so that's what you and I must become in the name of Jesus for people in this world. He has said, go out and heal the sick, deliver the oppressed, set the prisoner free. He has said, go and solve people's problems so that they will surrender their life to Jesus Christ and begin to follow him. And of all the biggest problems that any of us could ever have is the problem of our sin. And Jesus has died to forgive us, to pay the price for our sin so that we are forgiven from ever paying that price. And then he's risen from the dead to give us eternal life. That is the greatest solution for our predicament that anybody could have even given us. And so now we are happy to surrender our lives to him as the Lord of our life. And as we go beyond the cross and move into lordship, so he's not just our Savior, but our Lord now, we find we are able to be empowered to solve other people's problems. The fact is that sometimes we in ourselves may not get the miracle or achieve the result we were looking for in terms of solving a problem. But even if we don't solve the problem or we don't get some kind of miracle from God for that problem, we must have the spirit of faith that can live above the problem. That's what being seated with Christ in heavenly places is all about, that we are far above all principalities and powers, every other thing. And sometimes faith is not about getting a situation solved. It's about having the capacity to live above an unresolved circumstance, such as Paul with his thorn in the flesh. His faith accessed the grace of God so that he could cope with that situation. Jacob, once he fought with God, he became Israel, but also he got a limp in his leg. He didn't get healed. He got wounded from that encounter and it never got healed. But he lived his whole life limping and leaning on God. And it says at the end, he was blessing his children and worshiping God. And that's a good way to end your life. And if it means that you're going to be limping in an area and yet still trusting and worshiping, then so be it. So faith is as much about living with difficulties and maintaining a great attitude and not letting it affect the way you approach life, or it's about actually getting the solution to a problem happening. And that is what a problem solver is in our lives. Let me take you through just a few steps of solving a problem in other people's lives and in your organization's life. Number one, when there's a problem in a church or in an organization, the astute leader who's got a sensitivity to God and the people will sense that there is a problem in an area before it appears or before anybody else is aware of it. And very often, I've found myself making a phone call, just saying, hey, can you check out this couple? Or can you just make sure that this thing's all right? And if we are awake in our spirit, God will speak to us about situations that need addressing, and we're able to do that. Sometimes when there is a problem, I first ask God, what do you think we should do here? And he generally will say, don't worry about it, it's going to blow away. Or he will say, deal with it right now. And so I will deal with these issues, and simply by confronting them, often they fade away into nothing. The second thing is, check out what you think the problem is. Investigate might be the wrong word, but at least look into what the problem actually is. This is why the problem that's presented is often not the problem. People with an attitude will often use an issue to justify their attitude. And the problem is never the problem, because people's problems behind it are the ones they don't want to admit to. But they'll say, oh, the church is like this, or the organization is like this, or these leaders are like that. But really, they're trying to deal with some offense, generally, on the inside of their own world. The third thing is, gather data, process. Never act on the first piece of information. It'll be part of the puzzle, but it's never the whole puzzle. Somebody will tell you about a problem, and it'll paint them in a good light and the other person in a bad light. Don't make a decision yet. Go and talk to that person and let them talk to you about what the situation is, and you'll get a balanced view of it. And then get some other opinions about that as you process the data to understand exactly how this problem has become what it is. Number four, share your feeling about it and your findings to your team, the ones you trust not that you're not going to trust some and not others, your trusted team members with sensitive information. Communicate, we have a problem, you need to be aware of this and that. Number five, define the problem, write it down. I write just about everything down. And I make lists of everything. I make lists of things I need to do, lists of visions, lists for prayer, but I also make lists of problems. And it's a really good thing when you've got a problem list and you're able to put lines through those problems to see them all in a list, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got 5 problems I need to deal with. Even doing that can tend to break down the power of problems of you. If I just think in my mind, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this, it can seem like a very big thing. But once I just itemize it, put it in a list, I think, yep, I'll deal with that first, make the phone call, whatever, meet with the people. Suddenly, I find myself solving a difficulty that did seem bigger than it was. Number six, evaluate your resources. Do we have what it takes to solve this problem at this level? If we don't, maybe we need to bring someone else in as well, outsource it, ask for assistance in this area, but make sure your resources are at a level. Sometimes we're relying on people to do too many jobs, and we wear them out on things like problem solving, because it can be a very discouraging, difficult process. And in fact, if we're throwing the same people at problems all the time, eventually they're going to find the negativity starts to affect them. Every soldier needs a break. Especially if they've been wounded, they need time to recuperate. And number seven, leaders, make a decision. You got to finally make a choice as to how you're going to solve that problem. One of the best strategies in developing people is to never solve a problem for a person, but to solve it with that person. Leaders who never take the time to develop people will encounter problems they never needed to have. I'm finding that dealing with problems one by one prevents us from becoming overwhelmed with the number of challenges we face. And I want you to know that and restate it to you that the problem with a problem is never the problem. The problem is our response to the problem. So keep a faith attitude when you see a problem, even if you don't understand how you're going to beat this thing, how you're going to get above it. Just believe, I'm going to beat this thing. I'm going to get through this thing. That's where the problem-solving process begins, with a faith that I can beat this thing. There's nothing in this life that is bigger than the God on the inside of us. And so with God, nothing's impossible. We can move any mountain that's in front of us. As leaders, we have to accept the fact that we will face more problems than most. Your problems, though, are the pathway to your purpose. You either solve problems or live with them, yet we're going to be in victory. Hey guys, thanks for listening today. Trust you got something out of that message. I know I listen to maybe 3-4 podcasts a week, mostly when I'm exercising, riding a bicycle or running along the beach. I'd love you to get in touch with us on YouTube at C3 TV. You'll find there's inspiring messages, practical leadership tips, great leadership tips, and open, honest conversations. A little something for everyone. Hey, don't forget to tap that subscribe button and give us a review. We'd love to hear from you. See you next week.